Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for My Lowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for subscribing to the show and giving us a listen. This week's guest is Dean Snell. And if you're a golf equipment geek like I kind of am, or if you're a golf ball aficionado, if you love your equipment, then you probably know Dean's name. Dean has enjoyed an incredible career in the golf industry, and he's been behind some of the most iconic modern golf balls that are still on the market today. He worked at Titleist for a number of years for the start of his career and worked on the Pro V1 design, the original Pro V1 design that revolutionized golf balls, and then went over to TaylorMade Adidas Golf and spent the bulk of two decades there, pretty much being the face behind their entire golf ball lineup all the way down to Project A. And in 2015, he decided to strike out on his own, start his own golf company, and he offers a pair of golf ball models direct sold to the public. So he cuts out the retail markup, cuts out the middleman, cuts out all that kind of stuff that adds overhead to the price of a golf ball, and sells a dozen golf balls at an incredible price with an incredible product. So we've been meaning to get our hands on these golf balls for really the last year or so, and just haven't been able to do it. And Dean reached out to us and said, oh, thank goodness. We're really finally happy to hear from you. And we decided to have him on the podcast because, first of all, he's an entrepreneur story, and we love to talk about those. But then the second part of it is he just knows so much about golf and golf balls and golf equipment, and he does it in a way, he reveals his knowledge in a way that's A, extremely humble, and B, extremely knowledgeable in a way that's accessible for the average person and doesn't fly over someone's head. So we were recording a conversation yesterday, about 20 to 25 minutes together, and just wonderful conversation. So enjoy the interview, and we'll come back at the end.
Well, Dean, thanks for being a part of the show with us. You know, we've tried to quietly somewhat track what you've done with Snell Golf with over now a year, and you've got two great golf products out there. You've got a cult following that has followed you throughout your entire career and now into Snell Golf. So can you give folks who either are familiar with the brand or unfamiliar with the brand a sense of the journey you've gone on in the last year plus?
Yeah, it's been a fun time for me. Thanks for having me. I've been in the golf industry for, I guess, 27 years now, and started with Titleist many years ago, and got to work on the Titleist Professional and then the original Pro V1, and then went out to TaylorMade, and for 18 years I kind of headed up the R&D and worked with the tour players and did all the designs for all the TaylorMade golf balls to pretty much start that business with TaylorMade. And then about a year ago, I kind of went on my own. The game of golf seems like it's kind of been declining a little bit. It's a little expensive. We're losing a lot of members at courses, and we're losing courses. So I kind of sat back and said, if I can try to give back all the information and the technologies and the processes and the performance and everything that I've kind of had, you know, been blessed to learn and work with these players over the years, and create some golf balls that can become affordable. So now the tour players get what the best performance out there today, and I tried to create a company that would actually allow that technology and that performance to be affordable, so now everybody can try it, and it may be instead of playing one round, you play two, and, you know, it can kind of spur the game on a little bit and try to generate some interest, but give technology and performance affordable for everybody.
When was kind of that aha moment that you had, that you said to yourself, yeah, I've got to do this. I got to go out on my own. I got to do my own thing. And how long from that moment until you actually did it?
Yeah, I for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been something that I've had on, that I've had on my mind, but I have children and my children are in school. So, you know, the security for the jobs and to have the paychecks and to make sure that their colleges were paid for was my first priority. So I didn't really want to do anything until they were set and all set to go. So now if I made a decision to try something and if it didn't work, you know, I didn't put their education at risk. So that was my number one priority. So I've been thinking about doing something like that for 4 or 5 years. Now they're through school. My daughter is actually my last child in college. She's in her senior year. So the timing works, and And I started about, I think it was like in October of 2014 is kind of when I said, maybe I'm going to try this. I met with some local companies here. I tried to keep the business local to Massachusetts where I live, and just start to build on the concept and the ideas through a marketing approach. And what we came up with was a direct-to-consumer. I don't have big tour contracts. I don't have big overhead. I don't have big R&D expenses or marketing expenses. I don't sell directly to sales reps, to pro shops. So all of that cost that goes into that, I'm passing that savings back to the consumer. So the cost to make the golf balls are going to be the same as it is to make Pro V1s or TaylorMade type golf balls. But the added additional cost that's put into the bigger companies, which I don't have, I bring that back in. So I provide two golf balls, and one of them is sold at $20.99, and the other one is a tour caliber, tour type golf ball for $31.99. That's sold directly online, shipped to your house for free. So it's, you know, in some cases it's 2/3 to half off of what tour balls cost today.
And it's a huge bargain, and it seems like that is kind of the way a couple of different businesses have figured out how to kind of stake a claim for themselves with a high-quality product and taking all the middle parts and, as you mentioned, all the overhead out of it. Did you glean anything from other businesses similar to yours in nature that, A, that this could be done and done successfully, and, B, maybe what they're not doing that you're doing a little different?
Well, I didn't, and to be honest with you, I really didn't really research or look into any other companies. I had heard of a couple of the small independent companies that were selling direct online, but one of the key things that I tried to bring was a little bit of experience. You know, in the last 25 years, I've had the ability to work with the best players in the world, thousands and thousands of amateur golfers of all skill levels, and kind of see what they like and what they want and what they need in the performance of a golf ball, and then be able to design that into the balls that I've done over the years. So, and I have a little bit of history and a little bit of experience, which, you know, the performance of some of the other golf balls from another company, I'm not totally sure how they get there or what they do, but the performance I'm extremely confident in based on, you know, the history that I've had in the past that I've had, being able to be exposed to what performance is important, but also be able to be exposed to what materials and what processes are out there today that can be put into golf balls to give that performance that everybody's been asking for.
I think you're understating your experience a little bit, but I appreciate the modesty. Nonetheless, so, okay, you've decided to come up with a golf ball. You're going to do it. You're putting the meetings together. Did you have a golf ball design in mind from the start, or did you have to sit down and think through that and then kind of go through that process a little bit separate from building the company itself?
Yeah, I did. I honestly believe that the cast urethane material, the cast urethane cover that's on the Titleist golf balls, that's on the TaylorMade golf balls, I honestly believe that is the best cover material that's available in golf. And I don't think there's a real close second. I think there's other good cover materials, but that allows you to do so much with the performance of the golf balls. It allows us to create spin curves that are so different on the drivers into the wedges and maintain feel and durability. So my goal was to create what I believe would be the highest performance, tour-level performance golf ball that could now be affordable to everybody. And then the second product, the whole industry, in my opinion, the whole industry probably needs two golf balls. One would be a tour-type golf ball, and the other one would be a lower-spinning, very soft feel, high launch, less hook and slice, easier to play, easier to learn how to play type of golf ball. So that's the second one. So I have a two-piece golf ball and a three-piece golf ball. Will it expand into some? You know, some people want colors and some, but I think those targets are very important to match because there's probably two pretty distinct type of golfers out there. So I think it fits the broad market just by having two models. It's extremely confusing to consumers today. If you walk into some of the big golf shops and you take a look at the wall, and it's a wall of golf balls, different color packaging, different models made by every manufacturer, and it's very confusing. So if you can simplify that process to say, if you're looking for a soft feel, low spin, higher launch, less hook and slice type of ball, it's get some two-piece golf ball. if you're looking for a tour type caliber, eat more spin, more short game control. You know, it probably going to help you reduce your handicap quite a bit. That's more the tour type of caliber golf ball, and that's one that's called my tour ball under Snell Golf. So those two golf balls today, I think, fit a very wide market and a very wide level of handicaps.
When people first come to Snell Golf, either through word of mouth or they stumble on the internet or some way that they've heard of you, do you find that the feedback from them is that it is pretty easy to get involved with the product because there are basically two SKUs, and on top of that you offer what amounts to a trial pack that you can send both to the consumer and let them figure out what works best for them?
Yeah, that's been a lot of feedback. The simplicity of it is simple. I do a lot of answers. One of the things I love to do now and also give back is a technical support. We have a forum on our website on snellgolf.com. There's a forum where you can ask technical questions. A lot of the social media sites, there's blogs, which I actually log on, and I'll answer questions to help people. And I don't answer the questions relative to buy-in my golf ball. I answer it relative to golf ball technology, processing, performance, anything someone wants to know as an educational part. So I think the simplicity of it does work. It makes it easy. But you made a good point. We do have what we call a test pack. And the test packs, over the years, I've seen so many new product launches where two ball sleeves will be given out to someone, and their first shot goes in the trees, and the second in the water, and the golf ball's terrible. So I honestly don't think that you can do a fair evaluation, even with three golf balls, and where they should test them and the types of shots they should hit to see where they're different. And we sell two sleeves of each product. So you have six golf balls. You have enough to do a test. It recommends how to do the test. It's our recommendation on how to do the test. And that's been, if someone's confused, I'll try to answer their question. But if they're still confused, that product is available to try to make it easier. And the cost is split right down the middle, so there's no added cost to it at all. I think it's $26 a dozen for six golf balls from each model.
For folks that are getting involved with the brand, do you think that they get kind of an added value in that they get to talk to Dean Snell, a guy who's your golf ball genius? Do they feel like that direct connection is a big value add for them?
When I started, I didn't think so, but for the past year, it's that way a bit. I was at a member guest tournament this weekend. I got invited to, and it was I held a round table for, I think it was about 2.5 hours. I didn't even know what time it was, but it was ended up. And by the time we were done, we had about 60 people standing around, and one question after another. And then asked if they could take pictures to put on social media and things like that. So, you know, it's nice. I don't do it for the notoriety for myself. I really do it for the educational part. I've spent a lot of years doing training and educational seminars about technology and golf over the years to a lot of people in the industry. So anytime I get a chance to give that back to somebody is something that I enjoy doing and something I'll continue to do.
Do you think a lot of consumers really don't know that much about the golf ball and how it impacts their play and how it interacts with their clubs and how it defines every shot that they hit?
That's the $64,000 question. It's correct. It's 100% correct that there's a lot of information out there today. I have my personal opinion, and I'm not saying it's always right. It's just my opinion, but I believe that, you know, the compression story in golf ball is one of the most overrated stories and misunderstood stories, and then the swing speed and the fitting part of golf ball. So those three topics for me are very important when I do speak with someone to try to educate consumers on really what people believe they need a certain compression ball, or people need they really need a certain swing speed to play a ball, or people not sure how to actually test golf balls. So those three categories to me is something I spend a lot of time to try to educate people, and hopefully they can walk away with something that will allow them to look in one direction or another to maybe simplify that process.
What are the questions that the average golfer should ask when they decide, all right, this is the year I'm going to hit a golf ball for me, I'm not going to hit whatever I find or whatever's handed to me? What are those questions that they should ask themselves and what they go through with testing?
Well, I can make it easy for them. They should not have to worry about compression at all. So compression is a designer's tool. We use it to control spin rate. It's not 100% feel or sound. It's part of it. So you don't have to worry if it's a 50, 60, 70 compression golf ball. And you don't have to worry about swing speed. today, when you hit a golf ball, the covers are 30,000ths to 50,000ths of an inch thick. So when you hit with a driver, you're well into the golf ball, about a half inch. So every player, every swing speed gets into the core of the golf ball. Some manufacturers will try to tell people if your swing speed's slower, you need to play this. And this is where my pet peeve comes from. If you're a golfer today and you stand on that first tee and someone tells you your swing speed's slower, so you need to play a lower compression ball so it'll help you go further. Well, by design, lower compression golf balls spin less. That's why they go further, not because it's lower compression, but they go further because the spin rate's lower. So if the spin rate is lower, your 250-yard drive may have just gone 252 yards if you hit it perfect. You still have two, three, four, five shots to play, but you're finishing that hole with a golf ball that has the lowest spin rate available to you, where you need spin the most. So you're playing a ball on 14 drives that you might hit 2 yards longer if you hit it straight, but you're giving up all the performance and spin and control around the green that you need when you get closer to the green to save scores. So those two things, compression and swing speed, don't worry. Today's golf balls all go about the same distance. Tour golf balls, two-piece golf balls, we as designers lower the spin rate, max out the ball speed, so they have to go almost the same distance. The difference in them is for 100 yards. So my recommendation is, there are a lot of players out there, my recommendation is take a tour ball and take a two-piece ball. Just spend, you know, six holes, an hour and a half, and go out on a golf course where you actually play golf. And instead of playing nine holes, just take any club you play from 100 yards and in. And start with 100 yards, hit a couple of shots, go to 70, go to 30, chips and putts. And when the group comes up behind you, go to the next hole right to 100 yards. Do the same thing. Same thing, hole three, four, five, six. So when you walk off the sixth green, you're going to say to yourself, geesh, I like the way that ball felt firm or felt soft. Pitched high, pitched low, checked, bump and run, chipped well, putted well. It was something about the performance of the ball you're going to like that fits your game. That's the golf ball you should look to try to play. You go back to the tee, you optimize your driver for launch, and that's a total tee to green fitting. But they're different around the green. They're not different off the tee. And if you walk off that sixth green saying, I can't tell a difference between either one of these, then just buy the cheapest one, because that's where they are different. And if your game isn't there yet to be able to see that difference, don't bother wasting money here, because keep practicing, keep playing, and sooner or later you will. They're different from 100 yards in. They're the same off the tee.
Are there a lot of folks who are maybe a little bit on the better end, maybe, let's say, 12, 13, 14 handicap and better, who convince themselves they've got to play the softest feeling golf ball, because that's what tour players do and that's how it should feel, versus in reality, they could play the two-piece ball and be very successful with it. Maybe they play the tour ball almost to their detriment. Does it happen sometimes?
It happens all the time, yeah. There's a lot of players that, you know, and golf has been this way for a long time, where people follow the tour, you know. So what the tour players play, they want to play. And there's a lot of people that would benefit. I honestly believe that every golfer playing golf, in all honesty, would benefit if they tried a tour ball. Every golfer, if you're a higher handicap, when you get closer to the green, the golf ball has a little bit more spin for you, which might make your wedge or your chip shot stop maybe 5 feet closer. So your three putts now, maybe your putt may be 5 feet closer, so you have a possibility to two putt instead of three putt, take a couple strokes off. But it's a cost basis. So when you add that performance to the golf ball, you add cost to it. So any type of performance and cost that go together, that's one of the problems that happens today. So if you're not able to see that difference around the green where it is different, then don't bother. You should act. And then conversely, there's a lot of players that the two-piece golf balls today fly a lot higher than tour balls. So if you hit a shot that flies higher, it comes down at a steeper angle of descent. You don't need as much spin on the ball to hold it. So you can actually probably get away with playing that. And two-piece golf balls are much softer in feel than tour balls are today. It's a big swing that's happened over the years. Used to be very, very high compression, firm balls. Today they're 40, 50, 60 compression, where the tour balls are around 80 or 90. So the feel difference is swung 180 degrees. Two-piece balls are softer. Tour balls are a little firmer. Tour balls have a lot more control around the green. Two-piece balls will spin a lot less, you know, off of every shot.
Have you found that kind of, as people have gone through this journey with your product and they figured out kind of the one that works for them, once they find the one of the two that either they like most or fits their budget best or whatever their product decision is, that they stick with you, that they have a loyalty to you and to Snell Golf because they form a relationship with a brand they really like.
Yeah, I think it's happened a little bit. I know a lot of players out there actually like to play different products, so you still have that category of people. There's a lot of players that stay loyal to certain brands, so you still have that category of people. But I was pretty shocked actually for what I planned on for the first year we did in the first 6 months.
Wow.
So the business just through the social media side to it really took off. But there was a belief and a credibility that, hey, you know, maybe you know what you're talking about. Let me at least give it a try. And then the repeat customers that we have been very. Very high. Our level of repeat purchases through the internet is much higher than expected, which is why the business is doing a little bit better than we originally planned.
The thing I keep hearing over and over from folks who have done either a golf business or just any business online, a smaller business that has grown, is one, that their expectations are blown away, and second, that the word of mouth from their friends, their family, whoever used the product, influence them to then give you a try, and they found that it worked, and it kind of spreads like that. What kind of feedback have you gotten from your customers about that, and how often do you hear from somebody that says, so-and-so at my club in my weekly foursome used it, and he kicked my butt. I had to get this golf ball. How often does that kind of thing come up?
It's probably about 25-30% of the feedback we get is that they heard. Part of our big plan here to keep the cost down is word of mouth. So that's what we rely on. We rely a lot on, if somebody does try it, we encourage them to, you know, tell their friends. One of the big stories, and I like the feedback, so I ask people to send information back to me all the time. And we use the feedback for future product. So a lot of the comments that we receive back are, you know, I'm playing a ball and the guy's like, what the heck is that? You know, and they never heard of it before. That's the best thing because that opens up a conversation to say, oh, okay, you know, here's something new. You know, you got to try it. You got to like it. So a lot of the orders that I get, there's a note section on there. So when you place the order online, you can go on the notes. And I ask people if they've got any comments or feedback or anything, please share. And a lot of them will say, you know, I play with a friend. He did this. He shot this. He made an eagle. He did this, you know, and I had to try it. Or my buddies all play this now. I wanted to see what this is about. So the word of mouth is definitely working. And I appreciate it very much because that's part of the big way we can help keep costs down is spread the word through people and send them to the site and we'll keep on making them.
Is that something that not you were necessarily shielded from, but that you didn't get as much from in your roles with Titleist and TaylorMade, that you didn't get as much direct feedback from the consumer, or through doing consumer testing and fittings, you got that feedback?
We got it, but it was far less for me. In the R&D side to it, we would typically go out and actually work with players in specific categories that were set up for us. So we would have a design in mind that we'd want to do and say, okay, let's try to go to this course, and the course would set up, you know, 50 or 60 players at a certain handicap range or some kind of performance that we were looking for, and then we would work with them, talk to them, test with them. This is kind of more open. So I'm getting feedback, you know, from a guy that's a plus three that's using the golf ball in his state amateur tournament. And he's in match play and he's in the semifinals, to a guy that was 84 years old that made his first hole in one, you know, on a par three hitting a 5-wood. So, you know, the range is wide. We love it all. And one of the big things that I like to do is a lot of the social media sites to it, there's some blogs on there that people start to post threads and write things, and they post the reviews and the performance. I take all the reviews, print them out, and I read them all. So it doesn't directly come to me, but it's there. So I go online and I read them and just listen. And we made changes based on that. When we started, the Snell logo on the golf ball was a little thicker and a little bolder. And a lot of the better players said, geez, I really like the performance of the ball, but the look of it, it's kind of too bold or whatever. So we made it small. We thinned it out. And they appreciate that, you know, it's there, and the change was made based on their feedback. So those little things and little changes like that, even if it's a small cosmetic change, is information that we want to hear back from. And if it's something that we think will help or will improve the, you know, the sales of the ball or the performance of the ball, we'll look into doing it.
So what are the next steps for Snell Golf and for you? Is it iterative changes to the golf balls that you already have? Is it another golf ball? Is it, what kind of is the game plan for 2016 and even beyond that?
Well, for 2016, we had a big request, and I don't know if it's because it's the people that are on the social media sites, which are really the golf ball guru kind of, you know, people that get into it. But we had a huge request for yellow on the Get Some ball. So we're going to – it's the same performance. It's the same golf ball, but we're going to have it in an optic yellow. That's going to be available April 10th. That'll start being shipped April 10th. The tour ball has only – we started in March last year. So our top-of-the-line flagship model has just come upon its first year. Typically, golf ball cycles can last for 2 years. So we have R&D going on right now, based on feedback that we've gotten from players and based on feedback that I've gotten over the years, if we have to do it. You don't see huge changes anymore in golf balls. You're not going to get a 30-yard increase in distance like we did when we went from Tour Ballada to Professional to Pro V1. Those days are gone. So the real true performance differences now are going to be what people look for in field. They're going to be what they look for in the short game spin. The better players will talk about balls being into the wind and consistency and control with the wind. So all those parameters we take into consideration when we look at what category we're launching into and then what performance we're looking to try to get. So we got some cool things coming in the R&D side to it, and some prototypes are already in. They're in the testing phase right now. We're on a second iteration of some possibilities for next year.
We can't wait to see what comes out next. I'm so glad we could finally connect. I'm really happy for your success. I think it's really awesome that someone who had a great idea and had a great background can put that to use and have their own company and do great things with it. So thank you for the time. We're really pleased to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be on, and I appreciate your help. So anytime you have any questions or information for your listeners or followers, I'm glad to help out.
Thanks to Dean Snell for being a part of the show. We really enjoyed that conversation. Hope you do too. If you get a chance, go over to snellgolf.com, check out their products. We're going to put their two golf balls into play this week, starting this week, so we'll eventually do a review on those. We're really excited about that. Later on in the week, we're going to do our regular old 19th hole golf show where we kind of talk about one or two topics for 25 to 30 minutes. We'll talk a little bit about the WGC Dell Match Play, which starts today, Wednesday, and we'll talk about the round robin format, preview the Masters a little bit, and dig into the topic of the growing expanse in the world of golf podcasts, and in a good way, because that's good stuff for us, it's good stuff for you, and it's really exciting to see folks in the golf world starting to take some interest in golf, and even people who aren't necessarily in the golf world starting to take interest in golf podcasts and golf broadcasting. So we'll talk about that Thursday or Friday, and hopefully that'll hit your feed sooner than later. Just a couple of heads up, we're actually working right now on a GNN app, an updated one that will be available for Android and iOS devices. Should be out around the Masters, just after the Masters. You'll be able to listen to GNN Radio live on that. So for those of you who have complained in the past that listening to GNN Radio on your mobile phone stinks, well, we'll now have an app for that. You'll also be able to get all of our news, our articles, as well as our videos, and listen to audio on demand on the GNN app. So we're excited about that. We can't wait to get that started and show it off to you. So that's all to come down the line in a few weeks, but until Thursday or Friday when we do our second weekly edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show, Ryan Balaji saying thanks so much for listening. Please give us a 5-star review if you use iTunes. If not, shoot us a note with your thoughts on the show, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com or Ryan Balaji on Twitter. Until Thursday or Friday, we'll see you. Bye.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.